Welcome, welcome to the Seattle Kitchen Show on Cairo Radio. It's Chef Tom Douglas.
I'm Terry Rotiro, the chef in a hat.
And Katie O.
We are here all weekend long. Thank you for joining us. We're here every week. We've been doing this show now for close to 15 years.
Yeah, you were 27 when we started this.
Exactly. We're thrilled that you joined us and continue to join us through podcast or however you get your Seattle Kitchen fix.
That's right.
On today's show, we're doing a dinner party, as we often like to do. We're going to use peanut butter in every course. And so I think Mr. Salty. Who's the peanut?
Mr. Salty? Who the heck is Mr.
Salty? Mr. Peanut.
Yeah, his name is, in fact, a peanut. He wears a monocle and a top hat and a cane.
Okay, maybe he'll be coming to our
maybe
party.
Maybe he will.
I like the salted peanut version.
He's dressed for it.
We're going to answer your questions on air fryers. Now, I've made it clear before the show started, I know not one thing about an air fryer, so I'm hoping that somebody in our live audience knows something about a fryer and will come up and ask and answer their own reasonable question. Brandy, cherries, and more, and a taste of a very strange snack. Now, why do you call it strange?
You know what? Who wrote that? I don't believe that that's true, not one bit. Sarah Leibovitz has conveniently decided to leave the studio as we critique her.
We're going to do a hot stove society tasting panel on Cheetos.
That's right, we are.
Which
I love them so much.
If you know Kurt Dammeyer from the Beecher's Cheese Company, and he has a foundation all about teaching young children not to eat foods with additives. And the number one thing, he has two foods that are commonly eaten in America that he hates. One is Gatorade, because it's like people think, oh, it's a sports drink. It's going to be good for me. And it's just not.
Just marketing.
Just marketing. And the other he hates is Cheetos.
Well, you know, you tell him to make his
own Beecher's
Cheese Cheeto.
Make his own Cheeto snack?
Yeah, like make his own little cheese snack other than the cheese. The cheese is delicious. But if he had like a lovely cheesy snack, that was kind of a Cheeto rival.
If you've never had the fried cheese curd from Beecher than we do at Luke, you should treat yourself to one because that's pretty, pretty damn good.
Okay. And then also in the show, it's a very long show today, 2 hours. It's a very, very long show.
Wow.
we're going to finish up with trivia. We're going to do a tasteful trivia competition.
Oh, is it going to be tasteful this week?
Of course it is. And that's the tastier it is, the more chance I have to win.
It's an interesting equation you're doing there.
We like to jumpstart the show with a little bit of ordinary to extraordinary. So, Katie, take it away.
All right. Let's hit it. As we have been known to do lately, we take the national food holidays. There's one for every day of the year. And you take that dish and you make it extraordinary, even if it's a little bit ordinary. The first one is on the 12th of August. You know what? I don't even believe that this is a thing. It says Julienne fries. But what I really think that they're trying to say is shoestring fries. Thoughts on this?
So there's a different day for shoestring fries over
fries? It's so National Julienne Fries Day.
Well, so julienne is a French term, so why don't they just call them French fries?
No, I think she's right. I think they're talking about shoestring. Are you telling me there's a day for shoestring and a day for French fries?
Didn't I just say that? What a smart idea.
We are in an echo chamber right now.
Anyway,
let's stop
Chef,
at shoestring fries.
How
Go.
Would you make of shoestring fries just from just like deep fried in peanut oil to something special?
I can't come up with, I'm stumped on this one because I'm like, who doesn't want that the way it is? Just a little salt.
But no, but like
a little pepper, ground pepper and salt. And that's it. That's all I want on my shoestring fries.
What about
I don't
like
want
a little fried
else.
Herb or something?
No, I think that would be good. Or deep frying them in duck fat instead of
peanut oil would be good, or
beef fat.
Yeah,
beef tallow.
Definitely the fat matters, but the string itself, I just don't want to put too much junk on this.
I like Katie's direction of fried herbs, like fried basil leaves and
like a little misty or whatever that's called, but you know, with potato instead.
Carry on.
On to the next holiday. The 13th, it's filet mignon day.
They could put them together. That would be so delicious.
You know what? 12th and 13th, you can celebrate it on the 14th.
Steak frites.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Filet mignon.
You know, I'm a sucker for a good béarnaise, a real, truly homemade good béarnaise. Mm-hmm. Tarragon, white vinegar,
is
shallots.
Is that like a bear and mayonnaise?
It's a bear of a mayonnaise.
Bear of mayonnaise. Yeah, if you say it fast enough, I guess it is. Reduce that down. and then finish with a dash of cream and monté au beurre. Egg yolks, you do an egg yolk emulsion. You put the reduction in there, and then slowly but surely you incorporate all your butter in there. And I love a good béarnaise on a filet mignon. I'm not a big fan of filet mignon because I very, very rarely eat it. I think raw filet mignon tartare is more my route because that's what you're supposed to do with it. But that's about the extent of that.
Well, there you go. And I think you like the béarnaise on it, not only for the flavor of those kind of almost pickled-like shallots, you know, but I think a filet mignon has very little fat, right? So it's nice to get the fatty béarnaise sauce.
It goes well together. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
And then now that we have fries and the filet, now we just need some big spears of asparagus, and we've got a steakhouse supper.
I do love a good steakhouse supper.
Wrong month for asparagus, though.
Yeah, it's not really the time. Mm-mm. You should know that.
I did. That's why I said it.
How about we just move on to dessert instead?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The 15th is Lemon Meringue Pie Day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pie I never want to make.
You never do?
I've done it. Don't love doing it.
So you made the lemon curd, you made the blind baked tart shell, and then you made the nice meringue, and then how did you toast the meringue on top? Did you put it under the broiler, or did you
I put it under the broiler. Ooh. I don't feel like I did things right. And so subsequently, I've scared myself from this task.
So what went wrong? Did you burn your meringue?
No, it wasn't a burnt meringue. It was more that I feel like there was a wet layer in between the meringue
so it started.
Lemon curd.
It started weeping on you.
Right. Weeping in a way that I was like, "This is not delicious."
So that suggests to me, chef, that
intended.
She over whipped her meringue.
Correct.
I got too excited.
Either under whipped or over whipped. Either one, or you put your sugar too fast in your egg white before they were beaten already.
What I'm hearing is I messed it up. What I already knew.
What I think you should tell yourself is you did what normal people would always do. The first time around, just do it again. Just whip some egg white. When it's 3/4 to the stiff area, just slowly pour your sugar in there. Make it so then it's a really, really nice and unctuous meringue. And then put that on your pie. And then you won't have that issue again.
Okay. Put me back in, coach. I'm ready. I've got
And then I would drip a little brown butter caramel over top of the whole thing to make it extraordinary. Yeah.
Okay.
Toasted almond goes really well on top of that, too.
Okay.
And then fresh, you could also do some fresh grated lemon on top.
This sounds really nice.
Skin.
It's a very special birthday week, you know, coming up here at the Hot Stove. We have Julia Child celebrating her 104th birthday here on August 15th. Tickets are $50. And we're going to talk about what we're going to serve next on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Welcome back. It's a wild and crazy Seattle Kitchen Show here at the Hot Stove Society. We're thankful that you've joined us. We're here every Saturday and Sunday, and we're going to talk a little about a few things going on around town. And also, I led in with a thought about an air fryer, so we're going to get to that in a second. Or maybe we should start with the air fryer.
Let's start.
I am admittedly ignorant about air fryers, but one of our lovely audience members knows all about them, apparently. Your sister has one. Is that true? Your name is Janae?
Janae. My sister has an air fryer.
What's her name?
Jennifer.
So we can make fun of Jennifer.
Yes.
No.
That's always nice.
Because you said off air that you would never own an air fryer.
I love how quick she was. Yes, we can make fun of her on the radio.
Okay, let's talk about Jennifer's air fryer. Why does she have it? Why did she buy it? Did she watch like one of those TV commercials?
She did.
And then does she like deep fried food? So she thought this would be less calorific?
No, her stove broke. Yeah, broke. Totally broke. And she had to wait for a new replacement for her home. So she got the air fryer.
Huh.
Does the
air fryer, does it roast the chicken and things like that?
It does bacon, tater tots.
Frozen french fries, that sort of thing.
French fries.
Really?
Asparagus, actually.
You can do vegetable in there, too.
And you've
had the product out of this air fryer.
I did. I tasted it.
And
cheese.
Why did you say you would never own one? Does it just feel cheesy?
It's just not me.
Okay, it's not you, but like, does it fry anything?
I like to cook. With the air, the hot
Right.
Yeah,
hot
but is,
air.
It, is it effective? Do
yes,
you feel like
very
it's
effective.
Frying?
The tater tot was like a tater tot that had been fried.
Crispy and on the outside.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Well, there's your answer.
And the asparagus was...
crispy?
Yes.
On the outside? The fried asparagus?
Yes, it was
Did
good.
You put a batter on it or something?
No.
So it's effective. It does what it says it's going to do.
It does.
You
right.
Just, it takes the romance out of it.
Out of cooking. It's big.
Right.
All right, Janae. Thank you very much for that insight into an air fryer.
My assistant, Desiree, said the same thing. She has one, and she was very excited we were going to talk about it because not many people know about air fryer, and she was very excited to say the vegetables come out really nice, the French fries come out really nice. You just don't have the dip in the fryer kind of thing. So it's really not just
a
batch.
Why did she buy it? Did she want less
calories? Because she wanted to be healthy. She didn't want to do the frying and the, you know, she just was trying to stay away from having all that fat. So, you know, people have this impression that French fries are full of fat. I don't know where they get that from.
It's so weird that you
can't figure it out. Thank you, Jeanette.
Janae.
What did I call you?
You're welcome.
Jeanette.
Oh, okay. From being too shy to get on the air to all of a sudden like, whoa, I am Janae.
Forrest Gump. Say my name right.
Forrest Gump is my autobiography.
I know. What a big ask to have her name said right. You're right.
Also, we're going to talk about Julia's birthday here at the Hot Stove. It's August 15th.
Happy birthday.
It is. Their tickets are $50, and it's really a strollabout. It's a social. We're doing a Julia Child birthday social, and I'm looking forward to it. This is our third year, I believe, second or third year that we've done it, and we're going to have different stations set up out in the bar and out here in the kitchen, and we're going to walk around and eat fabulous things from her mastering the art of French cooking, including savory crepes with Gruyere cheese.
And sunny side egg.
Yeah, you love those. White and jiggly, we know that, on the eggs. Ratatouille with grilled bread. I thought that was a little rat.
Oh, Remy, the ratatouille rat.
Remy, the ratatouille rat.
I just watched that again recently.
You did? You don't have children.
I don't care. I love an animated classic. And this is, you know, there's great food movies. There's The Big Night. There's Babette's Feast. There's like Water for Chocolate. But Ratatouille has its place in the canon of good.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you never seen it, Tom?
Come on over. Come over to my little tiny apartment.
Oh, that's a good movie to see. You should watch.
I try to kill rats. I don't find them pet worthy.
You know, if you watch this, maybe you'd think twice. He's got a passion and a palate for food.
Did you ever see Willard? Is Ratatouille like Willard?
I never saw Willard.
No?
Come on, Tom.
We're going to do cherry club food tea with bay-scented soft whipped cream. French fries with béarnaise sauce, which is not a bear with mayonnaise spread on them. And more. I have this year I'm doing, let's see, last year I did lamb chops. This year, I can't remember. I'm doing a fancy meat. Oh, duck. Duck à l'orange.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's going to be super fun. We'd love to see you here, our Cairo listeners. And happy birthday, Julia.
Yeah.
106 years old. That's pretty old.
What else is going on, KDO?
Well, Tom, there is another big birthday that just happened.
Yes.
Why are you playing coy? Don't do that.
I like to watch them swim in my pond.
You don't look like a fish.
Tom, you just had a really milestone birthday.
I did. I can't believe I made it.
You made it. Mm-hmm. You did. You've done so much. When you think about your birthday, do you have any birthday traditions, or did you celebrate by a normal birthday tradition that you have?
This birthday, I have invited a little family friend thing that we do every Christmas Eve. So that same group is coming to my house for my birthday. And we are having, yesterday I made at the farm this delicious charred tomato and torpedo onion relish on top of the Dahlia Bakery yeasted cornbread.
Oh.
So we're going to start with those. We're going to start with some steak tartare. I had a delicious steak tartare in Las Vegas at Jose Andres's bazaar.
What was special about it?
You know, I don't know, and I'm not a steak tartare fiend, but it wasn't over-seasoned.
It was
so often meaty? Steak tartare is just, you know, it's got capers and chopped onions.
Yeah.
And
no, I agree with you.
I just want good beef, so that's what it tasted like to me. Then we're going to having a classic risotto for dinner. And
you gonna shave something special on there? I know sometimes you like to do a plain.
There are nothing around.
It's not the season,
not
right?
The season for truffles. And then for dessert, I love this little Piedmontese hazelnut cake that it's in the Dahlia Bakery book. People mostly think it's just too dry. They want to choke to death on it, but it's classic.
Like
it is.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's
so
totally. It's
just
totally
add
up.
More whipped cream. That's
it's
what
totally
I say.
The way Tom likes his guests to be, choking at the table at the end of the dinner.
And then, so I had this little Piemontese thing going on. So that's going with the wine I've been collecting for years. I have 10 bottles of 1958 wines that I've been saving for my 60th birthday, and I'm looking forward to opening them up. They're going to be dust. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, just like me.
Choking on hazelnut torts and old dusty wine.
And then after they fatten me up, they all have agreed to wrap me in gauze and take me out on a little rowboat and dump me to the crabs.
That's a lot of gauze.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no more cheesecloth left in the city. So that's my birthday.
Yeah, you're like a little bouquet garni now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe put a few herbs in there.
That's right.
Like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, happy birthday, Tom Douglas.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Happy birthday.
Here we have to get this on air, Sean.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tom.
Thank you.
Joyeux anniversaire.
Wow. Thank you, Chef.
You're very welcome, dear.
Up next, stop throwing your veggies away. Darn it. I don't know why people do that on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. All right, it's the Seattle Kitchen. Here we are back at it on Cairo Radio. Our audience is waning. They've had their sandwich.
Yeah,
now they're kind of like, okay, we're done with you.
No, we've ployed them. There's some bubbles here that we need to pass out. Mm-hmm. We've got sweets. Mm-hmm. They need to just be fortified again.
All right. We're going to talk about trying to utilize everything that you buy at the farmer's market or at the grocery store. Or, I don't want to say this in a way, because I have a lot of lunch places in downtown Seattle. I don't want to just everyone to just bring their own food.
Like,
but
let's think
how to bring
through.
Your own food. If you want, instead of going to one of the salad bars downtown, and I have a salad bar too, but I'd love to see you there. But so
maybe it's
take
a
us
way,
through this, Katie.
Yeah, exactly. To not feel wasteful, if you are a person that maybe gets a CSA box that you subscribe to, this is the season of so much delicious produce, and certainly it can be. It feels like when you are in the middle of your workday, it's more convenient to hop down somewhere and go get lunch. You know, that's nice. It's a treat.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's great.
And here's the thing about that.
What?
Before you get into how to not throw away your vegetables, did you see what the San Francisco City Council just proposed?
No, tell me.
They proposed that corporations are not allowed to build corporate cafeterias anymore.
I did not read about this.
It's only a proposal, but they're creating these dead zone environments around their buildings because there's no reason for anyone to walk outside. And so it's putting all the little delis and things out of business, and the restaurants are suffering because they're offering these free cafeterias for their staff. And San Francisco is thinking about putting an end to that, which is interesting. You know, I keep ranting about our city council trying to take over running our business for us. And this is just another one of those things. I don't know that you can legislate that.
Hmm.
So,
well,
anyway.
There you go.
Speaking of going downstairs for lunch out of your building.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of trying to find lunch, maybe you are the type of person that likes to bring their lunch. Maybe you're that type of person that plans ahead even, and you've got a Sunday, and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to knock out my first four lunches of the week on Sunday and pack them up. And the best way to do that, I find, personally, I do this, is you make some salads.
Mm-hmm.
They keep beautifully in the fridge. There's just a wealth of produce right now. And so how do you tackle that? And I bet you both have some really great ideas around this. Specifically first, Terry, I'll start with you. I know that you love making a big batch of grains and having that at your disposal. I think that's a great thing to have in your
salad. I'm a big fan of making sampal grain, you know, like the barley, toasted barley. I love when I cook a batch of that, not to cook for the day. I cook for the week, you know, and I can use it in my cereal in the morning. I can use it in salad during the week. Many different ways I can use it. So it's very, very practical. Rice is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Beans, if you're into beans, is another one. There's all kind of different bases, and you can cook a batch of right. and make that into a composed salad later. Hard boiled egg, keep for a few days.
Yep.
You can, you know, you on Sunday when you're cooking, just put
some eggs in.
Put 5 hard boiled egg in the pot, and then you know, just you have that on hand. The things that you don't want to do is mix your greens ahead of time.
With
that's
the dressing.
The day of. You know, you don't mix that ahead. But other than that, there's many things that you can have as a base, and it's so much easier to add to it. Dressing can be made once a week. You can do, you know, all kind of different things. So it's not such a high chore in the morning, and you should have a little plan of action about Tuesday it's going to be carrots, celery, and whatever added to my grains, and some fresh herb and some greens. And then Wednesday I'm going to do a different dish. I'm going to do a saffron, whatever you want to cook. But mm-hmm. the point is you make your plan for the week so you don't become wasteful.
And you can make your dressings for the week, too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Although they won't be as good. Like lemon juice mm-hmm. in a dressing, right, it starts to deteriorate, loses its fruitiness over a few days.
Right.
But they can all still be made, but you got to pack them separately.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the big thing that makes salads exciting, at least when I am excited about a salad, is when I see, one, a lot of color, a lot of different various colors in there, but texture. So, Tom, mm-hmm. can you take us down that route a little bit about what makes levels of texture in your salad?
Well, it kind of is where you're headed. Like if you're doing a roasted vegetable salad, there's not going to be a lot of texture, right?
Right.
Unless you're just doing super hot caramel on the outside without mm-hmm. cooking the interior.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do. And
yep.
some of the vegetables are just not very good that way. Like you have to roast cauliflower all the way through until mm-hmm. it gets back to a crispy point.
Right.
Or else it's just a big pile of mush.
And as soon as you chill it, it's, mm-hmm. by the way, going to get mushy again.
Yeah.
Right.
So. And other vegetables like broccoli, they just don't last very long once
no.
they're cooked. They stink up your whole
yeah.
salad and they're more your first day if
right.
you're doing
but like a roast. I know you're not a big fan, but some people are. Roast beets keep beautifully.
They do?
Those are one. I think that in terms of texture, if you're thinking about roasting and maybe that's not going to bring you enough texture because it's kind of going to just mush it out mm-hmm. over time. Nuts.
Yeah,
crispy
peanuts
little
work
things.
Beautiful.
Yep. Yeah.
Carrots.
Yeah.
So just shred the carrots rather than trying to roast them or mm-hmm. do anything with them, and they'll have a little crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Pickles. Pickles are a quick pickle is an easy thing to make and keep in your fridge. And then you simply garnish your salad with those pickles throughout the week. And you can make a whole variety, fennel pickles, cucumbers,
yeah.
obviously, carrot pickles, many things. We talked a little bit about the fruit of the season. If you walk into the grocery store right now, like Ballard Market is a wonderland right now. That's not even a farmer's market, but it's a wonderland the way they have the berries, currants. 4 different colors of currants, 5 different kinds of raspberries, still have some Washington strawberries. I mean, that, a fruit salad, maybe.
Oh, absolutely.
Our first, we just start picking our first cantaloupes right now at our farm, so I know they're out there. So a good
melon
salad with basil, mm-hmm. and I did mine with basil and mint yesterday, so melon and blueberries. A nice little combo salad, a fruit salad.
Bring some cracked
and then
pepper.
Just bring a side of yogurt so you have a protein.
Yeah.
Right. So there's lots of things to use this time of year.
We often think about salads as it's a wide term now. You know, it used to be like a salad has lettuce. I feel like that's where our minds were at. But now salads mean grains. They mean beans. They mean roasted
things.
Well,
it's things, a composed salad.
Yeah, a composed salad.
We always had chef salads before, right? More of a cold cut salad.
Right.
I think Vietnamese food changed that.
Mm.
I really do like that. Vietnamese steak salad,
uh-huh.
you know, beef
mm-hmm.
salad. And,
yeah.
And the amount of herbs they use and the fresh bean sprouts.
And those really light noodles.
Simple nguoc cham. And I think that changed it for a lot of people.
I believe that. Let's talk about just a regular lettuce, though. We've touched on this before, but how do you take, you know, your regular baby mixed greens that a lot of people are buying and make
don't
it
buy
more?
Them.
Yeah, don't buy them.
Just don't buy them.
Yeah,
what
just
about
don't.
Those baby kales? You like those baby kales?
Don't buy them.
No? There's
sure.
no way you can
whatever.
Make this extraordinary. I feel like you can. There's beautiful herbs out right now. There's interesting.
Well, there's baby romaine, and there's there's some lettuce that can keep for a few days in your refrigerator really well and crisp, and they're good for compost salad because they stay together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know, a good head of red leaf lettuce is delicious. You just have to use it very quickly.
That day, yeah.
You know, you can't.
I mean,
just
maybe slaw. Maybe I would say that there's vegetable slaws that might be interesting that you could use those kales in mm-hmm. or cabbage. Cabbage holds up beautifully. I think it's
I
underutilized in our diet anymore.
Yeah.
I will also say that I know a couple weeks ago I said my taste of the week was this papaya salad I had, but like, what another, that's another great thing that you could take for lunch, kind of along those lines of what you were saying with the Vietnamese salad. There's a lot of similar flavors going on in there, but such a toothsome bite, such a perky flavor. How nice.
So to be clear, you're talking about green papaya.
Green papaya, yes. My pardon me. Green papaya salad with a little bit of chili and peanut, as we were mentioning. That would be tasty.
It almost seems sacrilege to be buying anything that's not from the Washington state area right now.
It's,
it really does feel like the produce, the abundance of local product is, this is our time.
There is no reason why not.
This is our time. Yeah. I made a peach salad yesterday. I just did that quick 10-second blanch in boiling water so that, and the skin just peeled off. It was one of the Red Havens, so they were just this kind of
glowing kind
crimson,
of peach.
With the orange peach kind of showing through the crimson blush on the peach, and it was just beautiful, and they tasted like nobody's business. I mean, it was just so good. So a peach and feta salad, and that's another way to do it with fruit, right? You want to add something salty to that sweetness. That's the peach.
I think about your peach salad with that chorizo, that Spanish chorizo that you fried up and made a vinaigrette out of. I still think about that to this day.
Really?
So good. Yeah.
I'm so happy about that. And that's pretty simple, you know, that you can buy delicious Spanish chorizo in the marketplace, which looks like a salami, but it's really a sausage. It's very different than Mexican chorizo, right?
Right.
And then you slice it super thin. I made little matchsticks out of it. You're exactly right. I just put it into a hot pan and made it crispy, added olive oil, mustard, typical vinaigrette stuff to it, and then just poured it over fresh peaches or cantaloupe.
It was
or,
so beautiful, too. Yeah.
Even watermelon, really too. Watermelon would be good.
And then, you know, Johnny Jump Ups are up right now, too. They
so
are
cute.
A spicy little deliciousness that look great on top of that peach salad.
Delightful.
So many things. I mean, it is, I shouldn't say it's a rarity in Seattle, but we only get a few months with the bounty that
it's
we have right now.
It's an exciting time.
Yeah. Enjoy Washington.
And with the climate change, Seattle has tomatoes, by golly.
I know. It's really weird.
It used to be the Seattle tomato was only a green tomato, and now we actually have red ripe tomatoes in early or late July, early August.
It's very strange.
It's just what it is. All right, from there, we're going to have dinner. After eating all of that, we're now going to have dinner using peanut butter in every course. So if you hate peanut butter, stay with us. We're going to have some surprises for you on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Welcome back to the Seattle Kitchen Show on Cairo Radio. I'm Tom Douglas, owner of many of Seattle's fine restaurants. I think I forgot to announce that in the beginning, that I have a delicious place called the Palace Kitchen, the Carlisle Room. I had dinner at Etta's last night.
What'd you have for dinner at Etta's? I like the shrimp. I like fried shrimp.
I like the shrimp. Oh, I tell you, I do get in a rut for that trashy fried shrimp.
I know,
that we
me
have
too.
Yeah. I had a king crab. I had first of the season corn soup, which tasted like eating fresh polenta. You know, polenta is kind of like that really fine ground.
Very
polenta,
milky,
but
beautiful.
This was with fresh corn, so it was delicious. And then for dinner, I had these corn sopas, fried corn sopas with fresh peas and padron chilies.
That sounds delightful.
You know what? It was really good. They were just soaked in butter, pan-fried in butter and crispy brown. And oh, my God.
Sounds delicious.
I'm sold between the crab, these sopas, the corn, it sounds delicious.
No,
sounds
it was,
like a really
rocking,
great summer meal.
Rocking summertime supper. Peanut butter in every course.
That's right. We are having a dinner party at my house in my tiny little apartment with my electric burners. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun. And as we do with our dinner party, you are going to use this one ingredient in every single course. And it is a peanut butter. You can bring whatever peanut butter you want. I know. I'm sure Terry's a big Skippy fan.
Yeah.
And well, you like the natural.
Yes, you know, than a fresh jar of Skippy.
You know why? I skip it all the time.
All right. I want to get us started because
I
have so many ripe tomatoes right now. We have 3,500 tomato plants, and they are in full bearing mode.
So lucky.
So I'm going to make tomato water, which is basically I'm just chopping up tomatoes and letting it drain through cheesecloth.
Love it. My favorite.
I'm making a tomato water martini. So just a little bit of vodka, and I rarely drink vodka because I want a neutral spirit that's going to let the tomato water shine through. Mm-hmm. I'm going to garnish it with little Johnny Jump Ups, so they'll float on top. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to serve ants in a log on a piece of celery.
Wait, you're going to serve what?
Ants on a log. Do you know this, Terry? This
you know
might be
what
an American
ants on a log
thing.
Is?
No.
That's peanut butter stuffed celery with little bitty black currants on top.
And they look like, yeah.
But I'm using fresh currants. I'm using fresh currants. It's currant season.
That's cool. I like that.
You don't know what ants on a log is.
I'm sorry. I've never had ants on a log.
Yeah.
Last time I saw ants on a log, I
lived in
where
they were. Did the audience know what ants on a log is? Yes, everyone out there.
Terry says that's cool. He likes it.
That's cool.
He's cool.
I like the idea of celery and peanut. I think they match so well.
All right, your turn, sir. You have the appetizer.
All right, so I was going to do a tomato salad with feta, watermelon, and toasted peanut ground. Right, mixed into that salad to give it some nice texture and some nice peanut flavor. Very simple.
And
then a little rice vinegar, peanut butter, and soy sauce to be putting right around the tomatoes just to have a little nice bite and salty bite on top of that tomato. Mm. That's all.
Okay.
Fresh herbs, obviously
watermelon,
basil.
Feta, and peanut butter.
Watermelon, feta, tomato, and peanut butter. First, crunchy toasted peanuts. Crunchy peanuts first to have the texture and as well as the flavor.
Okay.
And the peanut butter is just a little bit in the dressing.
Who's our guest? Are they going to like that?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I didn't tell you that Mr. Peanut is coming.
Mr. Peanut.
With his monocle and top hat and
cane. Love that.
I think he might squint his monocle at peanut butter on
watermelon.
I think
he's going to be very happy to have it twice used in the same dish.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Come on. What's the entree, Tom?
Let's do this.
My favorite peanut butter entree or savory is Bathing Rama at a Thai restaurant.
I love it.
You
that
love
dish.
Bathing Rama?
I haven't had it. I can't even remember the last time I had it. But yeah, you're,
so can
you're really
you remind
bringing
us
me back
what
right
that
now.
Is?
So basically, it's the peanut sauce. So it's coconut milk based, and then you reduce that down a bit, and you add stir in peanut butter and whatever other spices that you like, toasted shallots or garlic or whatever.
Maybe
it is.
A little
fish
bit of
sauce.
Heat. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of chili paste. And then you use that. I'm going to make a spinach and steak salad. So I'm just going to be a big plate of raw spinach. And I'm going to take a skirt steak. I'm going to marinate it in fish sauce and shallots and...
Very Vietnamese.
Lime zest and juice. And we're going to put it on the hottest grill you could think of. Just burning hot because a skirt steak is very thin.
Yeah, right.
So in order to not overcook it, you have to cook it super hot and fast.
And also get a char on it,
and
too.
To get a char but without overcooking it. So then we're going to pull it off, slice it thin, put that over our spinach. I'm going to blanch a few mung bean sprouts, just literally those crispy, beautiful white sprouts, and blanch them for 1 second in boiling water. Put those over top, and then I'm going to take that hot Bathing Rama sauce, the hot peanut sauce, and drizzle it over and... We're going to have a party. We're going to have a Thai party. We're going to tie one on.
Mr. Peanut loves a party. He's always dressed for it. All right.
Well, for desserts.
And now he's dressing the salad. So
for desserts, I think peanut ice cream, just basically creating a s'mores. Peanut ice cream, chocolate poured right over it, nice little meringue brûlée right next to it, and I think you'd be a very happy camper with that.
How do you go about peanut ice cream? Is it just like vanilla ice cream?
Just like vanilla ice cream, except you use peanut butter.
You just have an additive of peanut butter.
Correct. You add peanut butter to your base, and then you churn the whole thing up, and everybody can imagine what peanut ice cream
Do you know
like.
What a tin roof sundae is, since you don't know what ants on a log is? Does anyone in our audience know what a tin roof sundae is? What is it? Yell it out.
Vanilla.
I never had mine with marshmallows.
Caramel?
I had caramel, yeah. So basically it's like a turtle. You know what a turtle is? Yeah, it's like... So a tin roof sundae is vanilla ice cream, hot chocolate sauce, hot caramel sauce, and toasted salted peanuts on top.
Oh, very similar.
Very similar. So,
very similar to a small...
That was my mom's favorite ice cream dessert.
Really?
Your mom has a great taste.
Yes, she does.
She should come to Lule and we have
She's coming in a couple of weeks.
Try your s'mores. You should...
Coming out here?
My mom's coming out here for like... I want to say it's the fifth time she's come out here since she said she was never coming out here again.
That's fantastic.
It's funny. My mom says exactly the same. I am never making that trip again.
This is too much work.
So I bought you a ticket for next year. You're coming, right? Yeah.
Well, obviously, we'll want to do a dinner party for her next time.
I'm sure she'll come to the radio show, sit in the back.
I have never met your mother after all these years.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, my mom was well known in the restaurants for coming and visiting, and then she would pull up a chair on the line and watch me cook.
That's so cute.
Literally on the hotline.
That's so sweet.
She would just sit there all night long. Mom, I'm going to be cooking for the next 10 hours. That's okay.
I just want to look at your cute little face.
She's just fascinated with the process because she cooked her entire life, 3 meals a day.
Lot of kids.
For 8 kids, and she always took care of her in-laws and her mom and my dad on weekends and all that sort of thing. So she was a cook. And she just loves the process. She can't believe how it all works.
As they say, you got it from your mama.
I actually think I got it from my grandmama.
Your grandma?
As far as the kind of cooking I do. My mom was more of a home cook, and my grandmom was more of a fancy cook.
Well,
she's
the one
who chef. She's the one who taught me how to make beef bourguignon.
Oh, wow.
Sip a little Jack Daniels.
She's Julia Child 101 there.
Yeah, exactly.
Little Jack Daniels in there?
Yeah, she taught. No, not in the beef bourguignon. No, the red wine.
What? Oh, okay.
It was crazy to have red wine in our beef. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, she taught me how to sip Jack Daniels and how to slug a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
That is a real woman right there.
Yeah, she was a good woman. She always cooked all day long, then disappeared for 45 minutes, went into her bedroom, came back out. You know, she had a house coat on, then she came back out in a dress. With her red lips on, and she had one of those, like, not Christie Brinkley, what's her name? Cindy Crawford mole, beauty mark on her lip. She was hot. My grandma was a hottie.
My grandma was also a hottie.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just back in the day. People just cared a little bit more.
Getting dressed for dinner.
Yeah. Mm.
I've been dreading this segment coming up, but we're going to have to get to it. We have a Hot Stove Society tasting panel coming up. Much beloved. I know we don't do them as often as we used to, but this one could be the worst we've ever done.
How dare you?
Well, I'm just saying. You're going to have to stay through and listen.
I will touch on that in the next segment.
Okay. On Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM. Welcome back to the Seattle Kitchen Show. Chef Tom Douglas at your service.
And Terry Rotiro, the chef in the hat, at your service.
And Katie O.
And we're going to do a little Hot Stove Society tasting panel. I'm going to be frank with you.
Hi, Frank.
This is, I find, a bit odd for such chefs of our level.
Oh,
of our
please.
Of our esteemed quality. Of our,
I mean, we go down to the trashy prom.
Our
lung.
Graciousness, our deliberateness for deliciousness, to force us to go through this process is beyond pale.
Oh, stop it. I
think it was your idea, Tom.
That's right. It was my idea.
It was
Never
your
mind.
Idea.
I take
and you
it
know
all
what?
Back.
I know the secrets that you keep. I know your habits, Tom. I was your assistant for 2 years.
Yeah.
So don't try to pull a fast one on me.
It goes like this.
Buddy.
I know the secret that you keep. There is nothing you would not want to eat.
Anyway.
All that said. Go ahead. Tell us.
All right. So we have a little tasting panel today. And there was, Tina, maybe you could remind us how this came about. There was some talk about our favorite snack.
It was
trashy snack.
You said that your lovely wife Jackie enjoys Cheetos over on the farm.
And then we were talking about I had had a bag of her jalapeno Cheetos.
Right.
I thought that was finally a Cheeto that tasted better than or tasted something like I thought it should.
Like you could get behind the jalapeno Cheeto.
And then everyone else said, "Well, I like this flavor. I like that flavor." So we just decided to do a Cheeto tasting.
That's right.
There's a lot of Cheetos here. A lot of different types.
And we don't even have the jalapeno one.
I was going to say, there are more than are even in front of us right now.
I want to forewarn everybody. This is my first time having 5 pieces of Cheetos in my life.
So you've eaten one before, but you've never gone past
it. I had one, but I couldn't eat it because I thought it was gross.
Well,
I just didn't like the texture and there was no flavor. I felt that was like, why would you want to bother eating that? But today I did actually pick a winner out of the 5. There's definitely one that was gross for me.
All right. 3. So let me just tell people what we have so far. Is this the way to do a show is to start out? This is all gross. Blah, blah, blah.
You guys are just being such brats about this.
We have Cheetos Puffs, which I don't even think can be declared a Cheeto, really. I think that's a...
It has Chester Cheeto on the front. Cheetah. It's a Cheeto.
All right. So then we have Cheetos Crunchy Flamin' Hot Limon. We have Cheetos Crunchy, which I think is what the normal Cheeto is, right?
Yeah, that's the OG
no matter how
Cheeto.
You say it, it's
we have Cheetos
Cheeto.
Flaming Hot.
Extra, extra hot.
Extra, extra hot.
And it was.
That one got you a little
hot. That was a little bit too hot for me.
And then we have Cheetos Flaming Hot Chipotle Ranch Crunchy. So.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of hate
well,
on the
Cheetos. Well, then let's get started here. Let's use
I love them. I love all
Every
the Cheetos.
Every single one of them?
Yeah, there's one maybe I wouldn't
How do you feel about doing your last show for us?
It's been a great run. Thank you for the support over the years.
What's the one you did not care for?
I didn't care for the Chipotle Ranch. That was a little too out of the field for
Ranch
me.
It.
I mean, truly, if there was a snack that I would feel a little bit guilty about for a second and then just totally just be like, I don't care, actually, I love them so much, it would be the original Cheeto.
I think that
is a really delicious thing that science has concocted. I mean, food scientists have worked hard to make that product exactly like it is, and it has a magical quality about it. It is so flavorful and
magical,
crunchy
huh?
when you eat it, and then as soon as you are done with that, it like dissipates from your mouth, and you want to go back in for more. That's what food scientists do. I think it's a perfect food. There.
Do you wipe the orange powder on your pants, or what do you do about your fingers?
I did accidentally earlier, and you know what? I don't care. I wear it as a badge of honor. I did important work today. I want everyone to know for the remainder of my day and my meetings that I did a Cheeto tasting.
I think the most prominent flavor in this particular bag of Cheetos is the yellow number 6.
Oh, I was going to say, there's probably MSG in these, no?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, a much mm-hmm. maligned thing. So I just want to make a plug that if you are a person that says you are allergic to MSG, you also better not be a person that eats Doritos, Cheetos, or anything flavorful package because it's always in there. But I love the original Cheeto. Going down the line, we have the Puffs. I'm with you. They're fine. That's not what I'm going to go to.
If I want that, I want like the Utz balls, cheese balls.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want Puffs from Cheetos.
You want a cheese ball.
Yeah.
The Cheetos Limon, I thought, was a very zesty take on the Cheeto. I don't know that I would
you
go.
You need to calm down, young lady.
I am excited. Hey, I wouldn't go for them all the time, but they're a nice little
switch. We could make
up.
It extraordinary by zesting some lemon on top.
I mean, we could, but it's already done. It's already done for us. Okay. We don't have to do anything. The hot was, it tasted a little bit more like a Funyun to me, like a very spicy Funyun. I didn't get as much of the Cheeto flavor that I know and love. And then the Chipotle Ranch was garbage. Garbage. Get
God,
it out.
I could not eat that one. That was the only one I could not eat.
Well, the good news is the Chipotle Ranch was my favorite, and I think that is because it has not only yellow dye number 5 or 6, whatever that other one. Uh-huh. It has red number 40, lake number lake number 2, yellow number 6, yellow number 6, yellow number 5.
They used the whole rainbow.
That's why it tastes so good.
Because it's also Flamin' Hot. It's a Flamin' Hot Chipotle Ranch Cheeto. There's a lot going on there.
I'm just
going
to eat right in the microphone so people can live through my Cheeto crunch.
There's nothing people love to listen to on radio more than people eating. Mm. That is for sure.
My favorite was the first one I tried, which is the Cheeto Puffs. It was the least obnoxious. It was the least obnoxious of all of them. And that was my favorite, since I have to pick a favorite.
The least obnoxious.
My worst was definitely the ranch. That stuff is disgusting.
Yeah, you guys are haters.
We discussed it, and it's disgusting. And that's why we have them. Well, what's your favorite snack? Lightning round. Favorite snack?
Cheetos.
Lightning round. Foie gras. For me, is it foie really for you?
No.
Oh, what is it?
Favorite snack? I would
go
salami.
Actually,
salami.
Yeah, like that would be my favorite snack.
I like a potato chip. If I have a desert island snack, it's probably a potato chip.
I'm barbecue
chip.
Potato chips. Yeah.
That
was a very exciting segment. I'm glad you hung with us for something newsworthy.
Hard hitting.
Up next, questions from you, our faithful listeners, on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. We are back in the Seattle kitchen on Cairo Radio. It's time for questions from our listeners. KDO's got them all lined up here. You've
That's
been active
right.
online, and we've been remiss in not getting to more of our questions.
Yeah, so we've got to just jump right into it. We go to our Facebook page, Seattle Kitchen. We ask you, our dear listeners, if you have any questions for us. And then we try to get through as many as humanly possible in this short little segment. The first one comes from Paula Johnson Nelson, and she wants to know, what can I do with padrone peppers?
Grill them, roast them, peel them, and add them to salads, add them to dice them and make them into a chutney with maybe some, right now we have, what do we have for fruits in season?
Plums.
So many different things,
right?
Plums. Mm-hmm. Could make a nice little chutney to go with your pork chop or something of that nature. I mean, there's many different usage. The only thing is, supposedly the fairy tale goes 1 out of 10 is hot. And if you've ever had a plate of them, you'll know that that's not true.
No, that is true.
Sometimes you don't get any hot. Sometimes you get 10 of them.
That's true.
I've been caught in different fires with that. So, but they're delicious. They have a very special flavor.
I love the Russian roulette aspect of the padrone.
Absolutely.
And if you don't like that roulette, then you just buy shishitos, right? Because none of them are hot.
Mild.
Right. And, and they're often available side by side in the farmer's market or grocery store.
Right.
The shishitos are a little bit more yellowish than the padrones.
I think the padrones are a little bit more flavor. I don't know why, but they have definitely delicious flavor. Mm-hmm.
And I take them, I put them on a little kamal, one of those large flat griddles, and just give them a hard sear, salt them. I like to grate a little Gruyere, some sort of little melty cheese on top.
Yeah.
They certainly don't need it, but I kind of like it. And lots of salt.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like them pretty straight up. I don't even do the cheese. Just maybe a little squeeze of lemon, salt.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. All right, next question comes from Janelle Tremaine. Have you baked with low-carb flours like coconut or almond flour? If so, what accommodations should one make to provide the texture similar to that offered with wheat flour, for instance? Do you have any answers around this?
We're going to save that one for the Baker's Corner next
week. I think
that's
great.
Let's put that away for a minute.
All right. So, Janelle, just hang tight. Mm-hmm. We will try to get that with Brittany Bartleben, our chef at the Dahlia Bakery. The next question comes from Clarice Hart. She says, I was listening to your show on Saturday while I was making brandied cherries. That's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And some boozy bourbon cherries for the first time. I was trying out different recipes. Tom, you mentioned that Jackie recently made brandied cherries in a crock. Can you explain the difference between using a crock and jars and also the difference of canning and not canning them? What is your preference? I canned the ones I made so they could be given as Christmas presents. In the recipes I researched, I made 15 jars, but I don't know how they taste yet.
Open one. Try it now.
Open one.
Definitely. Open one.
Yeah, open one.
You want to do that before you hand out 15 presents, right?
Yeah.
That's the best test you can possibly have. Try it now.
So the crock method has to be refrigerated, generally, unless you're pickling them. Then they might be shelf-stable, but the pH would be wrong if you didn't refrigerate them. And you just make the syrup. You make if it has enough sweetness, it won't mold in your refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And you just leave them in your fridge, covered, and use them when you want to use them. My wife makes the version from, there's an old book called Fancy Pantry. You know, it's all kinds of pickles and sauces, and she uses that pickled or that Merlot cherry recipe, I believe it is, where we use Merlot wine and can she actually cans them. And so they're always going to be a little bit soft because when you cherries begin soft, and then when you can them for 30 minutes or 18 minutes, whatever.
Oh, no.
I can't remember how long it is.
10 minutes.
Where you have to pasteurize them.
Yeah, but it's still going to break down the fibrous material in the
They sit there in that juice and they continue to get soft. But it is what it is. You know, it makes it delicious. If you make them sweeter or a little bit, use brandy instead of wine, you can make your own Manhattan cherries, for your Manhattan cocktails.
I love them in old fashions as well. Very tasty.
Yeah. So I think that's super fun when you're pulling that out. You have guests over and you pull out something that you canned back in June and you're having cocktails in December.
Because really that is, I think of that cocktail as a kind of a cooler weather cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're getting a little bit of a taste of summer and reaping the rewards of your hard work.
Canned cherry.
They also work great if you want to make something like a Black Forest cake because the canned cherries will break down in the layers of the cake. And I love that. That's just an old-fashioned cake.
Very good.
I had at the Hotel DuPont when First time I ever had it and made it was Hotel DuPont in Wilmington, Delaware, 1975.
And if you want to be even more lazy for dessert, I bet no one would really turn their nose up to a bowl of vanilla ice cream and those cherries on top.
Ooh, that's probably how I have them the most.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very tasty.
That's one of the best ways to have them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Our next question comes from Sandy Russo. She says, I love figs. Do you have any really good ideas for figs? So none of those not so good ideas. Give us the really good ones. That's what she wants.
Well, we were talking about drying earlier. Drying figs. Figs is one of those fruit that dries out really well. So if you have a dryer, drying sliced fig is actually a great way to use them. It makes great jam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fig jam is obviously a very easy one, especially if you put a little port in there, some good ruby port inside your fig jam. It does a great match, and it does a great jam.
And it works well with cheeses, you know,
yeah.
Unlike strawberry jam. It
right.
Works really good with hard cheeses to have like a
And it's a great thing. And a batch of jam will stay for like 2 months, 3 months in your refrigerator. So, you know, it's something to do and think of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a nice little... frangipane and fig tart is always a welcome in my house. Slice figs on top of frangipane inside a, you know, a tart shell. Bake the whole thing up for a few minutes and a so few minutes for like 30 minutes.
Frangipane is sugar, almond flour,
yeah.
And egg yolks.
Ground almond, egg yolks, sugar. That's it.
That's it.
Oh, a little flour.
And then you just put that in the bottom of a pre-cooked tart shell.
Correct.
And then you put your fruit lined up beautifully on top.
Correct.
And bake that sucker.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about sometimes things coming in and out of fashion in food. What I used to feel like I saw all the time were recipes for figs, like wrapped in a prosciutto, stuffed with the cheese, and then baked in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely see that anymore.
Well, it's true.
Probably overdone.
I have one in my big dinner book in the Dale Chihuly chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Is a blue cheese stuffed baked fig with a little red wine.
Yum.
And I did it with Moscato glass. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I made Jello out of Moscato wine and then tore it apart into shards for...
Yeah. The broken glass.
It was pretty hip.
Touching on that molecular gastronomy before anyone was really doing it. You know what I mean? Taking things to new places.
Those gelatin sheets, man, they are molecular.
You're wild. You're wild, man.
They're more miracular than molecular.
Okay, we have one final question. This comes from Kathy Winmeyer's Ginter. What do I do with garlic that has green shoots growing in it? Is it okay to use? How can I keep that from happening?
So you have two choices. You can either plant that garlic and get more garlic for the next season, or you can just slice your garlic in half and take that out. How's that?
And why, Chef? I find that to be
an
old wives' tale, personally.
Okay.
I'm asking the question because I don't know, but I don't find it any more bitter. And I know that I've been taught that myself, is to yank that little green. But in the springtime, when that green garlic comes up, we all chase after it. It's one of the first taste of spring.
But
we all love that.
Green garlic is not the same thing. You have the old garlic around it on this one. You want to use that old garlic or the one that's perfectly ripe and not have the one that's coming through it at the same time.
I understand, but I've tasted them next to each other. I don't really taste a difference.
Well, you know what?
That's what I'm asking. Is it an old wives' tale, or do you feel strongly about it?
I feel strong that if you have growth inside your garlic, you remove it.
Because we look at green onions, we look at yellow onions that have a sprout that doesn't taste any less sweet.
It might be a wives'
tale. Okay, looks like we have another taste test coming up.
Great.
Up next is the Baker's Corner with Chef Brittany Bartleben from the Dahlia Bakery. Welcome back. It's the Seattle Kitchen Show on Cairo Radio. I'm Tom Douglas.
And I'm Terry Rotiro, the chef in the hat.
And I'm Katie O.
It's time for the Baker's Corner.
That's right.
Chef Brittany Bartleben from the Dahlia Bakery has trudged on over. And when you go out of the Dahlia Bakery, you come out of the back kitchen and you come right through the bakery itself.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you amazed at how much business that little bakery
does?
Yes.
I walk through that door in the mornings to get to the kitchen as well, and it's, there's a line out the door.
I know. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love the energy in that space.
Yes.
When I was back in New York City years and years and years ago, it's over 20 years ago now because our bakery is 20 years old, but I saw a little bakery next to Baltazar Restaurant, and I know you visited it recently.
Yeah. I did, yes.
You took a bakery tour of New York City. Remind me of your favorite bakeries that you found in New York City.
Balthazar was one of them.
Balthazar was one? Yes. Is that because you knew it was kind of like the inspiration?
I think so. Yeah. We knew going into it. I think it probably would have been one of my favorites as had I not known that, mm-hmm. just because it reminds me of the Dahlia Bakery.
Yeah. And, you know, Balthazar restaurant at the time, 20-some years ago, was the hottest restaurant in New York City.
It was for many years.
And so that
years.
Little bakery next door, it was just added on.
Yeah, and, I really enjoyed Supermoon Bakehouse. That was the first bakery we hit. And I really, really liked a place called Saragina in Brooklyn, a little Italian bakery with fantastic breads. Yeah. Cool. I mean, I could go on and on. But yeah.
All right. So I was in the Ballard Market. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my home market.
That's right.
The Ballard Market, Queen Anne Met Market, mm-hmm. And Shoreline. So those are like on my way to my house in North Ballard.
Just in case anyone wants to go and see what Tom Hudson is going to get our.
Oh, and the QFC on Holman Road. Those are those are the groceries that I visit on the way home or on the way to the work. Sometimes, like this last week, I was heading over to the farm to do television shoots. And so I stop at Ballard Market at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm buying all this weird stuff, and they're just looking at me like, "What is going on here?
What are you making?"
Yeah, exactly.
You got two full carts of
$700 at 6 o'clock in the morning. So. But anyway, what I find most impressive right now, this time of year, you walk in and you see the figs and the blackberries and four kinds of currants and three kinds of raspberries, and it's just heaven right now.
Heaven or hell, depending on your calendar.
So, but now's the time not only to use it, but to preserve it for later in the year.
Yeah.
And in our restaurants, I don't know about you, Chef, but we don't have a ton of space to put away, say, 1,000 pounds of blackberries.
I don't think any restaurants has that much space.
Yeah. So outside of the refrigeration system is helpful. I know we make our own jams in our company, so like when C-Town does breakfast, if you get a jam for your toast, it's, or Lola.
Always homemade.
It's always homemade, right? So tell us about preserving fruit, how you like to go about it, between jams and, you know, all the different things that you do in the baker's kitchen.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Right now is a very overwhelming time if you are a chef, because it's just a scramble to get it all preserved, because there's no way we can possibly use all of the fruit that's available right now.
Right.
My first go-to, obviously, is freezer jam, because I don't like to fuss with canning. So, you know, just cook up your jam and pack it into deli containers, which you can purchase at Cash and Carry or online. They're fantastic. They're reusable. They're dishwasher safe.
It's not Cash and Carry anymore.
Oh, it's not?
What's it, Smart? Is it Smart Food or something like that?
Oh, they changed the name.
I didn't know that.
Yes, not Cash and Carry. Okay. I can't remember the name.
The artist formerly known as Cash and Carry will have your deli containers for you. And they're just a really, really great tool if you want to preserve your jam and don't want to bother canning it, and if you've got the freezer space, of course. Mm-hmm. Individually quick frozen fruit, if you can't get to making it into jam, lay it out on a single layer in a sheet tray and put it in your freezer.
And I think that's a good recommendation for single people who live alone or whatever. You know, just buy those good fruit, and then if you can't get to it, it's okay. Just put
it
in the freezer.
It's fine. Throw it in the freezer.
You can always use it later. It will still have the same flavor. Don't wait 5 months. Just use it soon. But, you know, at least you're buying a week or two. And most importantly, it's not going rotten on you. You know?
Exactly. And once it's frozen, just throw it into a Ziploc bag, and then you can go again. Yep. And then you can throw it in your smoothies. From there, you can make jam when you have time.
Right.
We like to make something called spoon sweets, which is sort of a sweeter jam, and it's meant to be like a dessert sauce or topped on
eaten
a cake.
By the spoon.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just wonderful to pull, you know, a batch of cherry spoon sweets that you've got sitting in your freezer, to pull those out and then put it on a cake when you're serving a dinner or something like that. Mm. People are always impressed by a nice homemade fruit sauce.
Absolutely.
I would say, when in doubt, and I've done this before, is to just make a pickle. Pickled fruit I absolutely love on desserts. It offers a nice tangy counterpoint, especially to really sweet desserts.
And puree too. If you puree, make a nice puree, it elongates the, instead of having 20 peaches in your freezer, you now have one sandwich bag of pureed peaches, which is a great use for future use for breakfast, for many different things.
Yeah.
Dessert sauce, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. We should talk about prepping fruit that you're going to individually quick freeze. Blueberries, any berry, you don't really have to do anything to. Strawberries, you obviously want to hold them, remove the green stem. Peaches, if you can get them peeled, and you don't have to do the boiling thing. If you invest in a serrated peeler, those are the best. I absolutely love them, because you can peel them like an apple, and the serrations on the on the peeler. We'll just peel it right
off.
I
have one in my kitchen for a week.
It doesn't take meat with it?
No, it doesn't. They're fantastic. As long
as
you
have. I don't know if I believe you.
Oh, a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean,
the boiling, I know, is a pain, but you don't lose one speck of meat.
Yeah, I will say the peach needs to be perfect.
Right.
It should be ripe. But they're like really soft, then there's no peeler in the world that's going to help you. But if you've got a beautiful, perfect peach, little firm but has some give to it, that's the perfect time to use the serrated peeler.
And if you're going to poach peach to peel them, you should use a good liquid. Make a nice light syrup, champagne, and poach your peach in that.
Oh.
And it will get extra flavor from the skin. Then you strain the whole thing up. And you reduce that down, and you have a wonderful peach champagne.
Boy,
all this time I've just been using
either,
basic
chef.
Water.
Well, just because you're only blanching them for 10 seconds, like what are you getting out of that water?
Well, the skin that's in. Once
skin
you peel,
oh,
leave the skin in the water.
Once you peel all your skin, you put them in there, let them steep in there, and then you get extra flavor. And you can reduce that down. It's just instead of just using plain water, you would throw away.
Mm-hmm.
You now have a syrup and. You just use that
in your double belly. Preserving.
Use that in your belly knee.
Yeah. The skins of peach does have a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
Back to that peach, you're going to want to slice it, and then from there lay it out in the single layer. If you're in a panic, you don't have a lot of time, you can drop some strawberries or something into a jar of white vinegar, and you'll have strawberry vinegar to make salads with. Or my brother-in-law makes something called Blackberry Bounce, and I've done it before as well, and it works with any other fruit. Drop it into a jug of vodka, and then shake it once a week, and you've got a really nice flavored vodka for cocktails. Happy Christmas gifts.
The look on your face right now seems to me you might enjoy that a little more.
A little
than
more
you.
Than I should.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say, I feel like you're having flashbacks.
I know.
Maybe too much of that bounce.
One thing I've been
doing. We did it with rhubarb and gin one time. It was fantastic.
One thing you can do is use the pit of the peaches and the apricots and put that in the vodka. And eat the fruit and put that in the vodka. And in 3 months from now, you just strain the whole thing up, and you'll have a wonderful little...
Are you talking about Noyo, the little kernel inside?
Yeah, Chef has got a little nose-to-tail thing going on his veggies right now.
Yeah, he
really
does.
Using the pits and the peels.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about dehydrators, and that's... I've never really been into it so much until I did we did a Food Lovers Weekend here, and we had all the dehydrators out for beef jerky, and then we switched to fruit after that.
Like fruit leathers or just...
Then we did... plums this last weekend. Really, really good.
So good.
And
easy
way to preserve and to have it still be your own fruit and be able to get things that don't have a lot of sulfites in them.
Yeah.
All the stuff you buy in the marketplace seems to be loaded with sulfites so that it keeps its color, right?
And expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
And
a
the
dried
usage,
plum that you would buy at the grocery store is incredibly expensive.
Yeah, and the usage is great. I mean, it can be from breakfast all the way up to...
Fruitcake.
We were talking about flan. You can drop dice that and put it in a flan. Yeah. It's really nice texture.
So let's talk about fruitcake for a second, because this really is the time to
I
be
was
making
say,
a fruitcake.
The time.
Are we already in fruitcake making
Well, believe
season?
It or not, we're going to start planning our holiday menus this week. So.
Well, and a good fruitcake has to age.
It's 90
it
degrees.
Does. Yeah. People will be making their fruitcakes. Like,
I'm ready.
If they're doing true fruitcake.
Yeah,
where
I want to do this.
Oh, she's so excited.
Well, you can make it now, right? You could dry the figs that are out there right now. So that's all your fruit, basically dried cherries, figs, all sorts of things. You make the fruitcake now. You wrap it in cheesecloth, and you just pour brandy over top of it and put it in your fridge. And then every week or two, just turn it and douse a little more brandy and just keep it going all the way until Christmas.
That's a boozy,
that is
and then
authentic
you
fruitcake.
Give it to somebody you love, like me.
Yeah.
Oh, I do love you.
I was about to tell you, since you live in a smaller apartment, break the batter into two different dishes so you have two cakes. You can give him one.
One
but
for,
still
for
have one
Tyrion.
For you.
I was going to say, just you two.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to enjoy it.
That would be so special. I mean, the fruitcakes that you see in the market with that really weird colored...
Yeah, and it
fruit.
Always
your
has
own
a,
dried plums and a homemade... I would love to receive
And the fruitcake
gift.
In the market always have a weird taste.
Right, and you write a little story about the market that you bought it from, the farm that you bought the fruit from, and next thing you know, it's a Christmas
that
carol.
That warms my heart.
I'm already touched by this thing that I haven't even done yet.
I know,
See, you might have to skip right over. You're already touched.
I'm so thoughtful. I've done all the work.
That's pastry chef Brittany Bartleben from the Dahlia Bakery. Thanks so much for joining us
in
the Baker's Corner.
You,
see you next week. Up next, Food for Thought, Tasty Trivia Challenge. Kitchen Show. It's time for Food for Thought Tasty Trivia. I'm Chef Tom Douglas.
Terry Rotiro, the chef in a hat.
And I'm Katie O.
And Katie, you're going to administer this contest today.
I certainly am. We have a very special contestant, our own production assistant, Sarah Leibovitz. She is feeling how? How are you feeling?
Not sure how this happens.
I was just going to say.
It's called peer pressure.
Have you been working up to this, like getting the nerve to do this again?
No.
No.
No. I'm coming in cold.
Okay.
That's what makes good radio. Yeah.
That's why we See call her.
All right. So,
Rainbowed
Sarah,
Annie.
Sarah, you know how this works. Everyone knows how this works, but in case you're tuning in for the first time, each of you are going to receive 5 questions. Whoever gets the most correct wins, and whoever gets the least amount correct is the loser. And the loser has to give something to one of our listeners. Today, it's Clarice Hart. She had that wonderful question about cherries and preserving cherries and brandy cherries and all the ways we can enjoy those. That spurred a really great conversation. So, Terry Rotero, if you lose, what will you be giving away?
Well, I'm definitely going to give branch for two at Luke for Clarence. Clarence?
Clarice.
Clarice.
Clarice. Like the Silence of the Lambs. I'm sure she gets that a lot. Tom, what will you give away if you lose?
I'm going to give away a bottle of Chianti with some fava
beans. Oh, are you?
And liver.
That's a great
mm-hmm.
gift.
Some fava beans on the side.
I'm going to give away dinner for two at the Palace Kitchen.
I love
that. I don't do that very often.
Sticks
off. That's $150 value.
My word, so generous. Sarah, what are you going to give away?
I think last week we had some of the birthday cake cookies for mm-hmm. Tom's birthday, and they were so good. And I think Clarice should go and get some of those, regardless of if it's her birthday or not. So I'm thinking a $50 gift card to the Dahlia Bakery.
That's cool. A great gift. All right, Terry, I know you like to go first. Are you ready?
Hit me.
Your first question, sir. What vegetable is often called oyster plant because it tastes... is said to resemble that of an oyster?
Salsify?
That is correct. Very nice. True or false, fine French restaurants, I'm sure you know something about those, first began in the 18th century when cooks for wealthy families went out on their own after the French Revolution. Is that true or false?
True.
That is correct. Very nice. You know your French restaurant history. Thank
yes.
goodness, huh? Your third question. What liquid is often added to a cheese fondue to help it stay smooth?
Wine. White wine.
We will take that. We were looking for alcohol, but wine is alcohol.
You could do wine if you're cheap, or you could do brandy if you're not.
Okay. Perfect. Your fourth question, Thierry. What are kabocha delicata and golden nugget?
Kombucha squash.
That is
puppies.
Those are some cute puppies. Terry, you're doing great. This is your last question for a potential perfect score of 5 out of 5. True or false? The grapefruit was originally a hybrid of a sweet orange and a pomelo. Is that true or false?
I'm going to say false.
I'm sorry, sir. It's
true?
Actually true.
I thought the pomelo came after.
Yeah, you know what? I would have thought that too, but you did fantastic today. 4 out of 5.
Oh, well.
Sarah, you've been working up to this moment. Oh, that's a song I've made just for you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Are you ready?
Sure. Why not?
Your first question. What gives red flannel hash its red color?
Beets.
Yeah. Sarah's so smart. Yes, that's correct. It's beets. Can you tell me, Sarah, what is the national spirit of America?
Bourbon.
Why she was concerned about taking this quiz?
Well, when you write the quiz, it helps.
Oh yeah, wait a second. Did you write all these questions, Sarah?
I did not write all
okay.
of these questions.
Just checking.
I promise.
Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Of course I did. Touché, Tom.
Of course I did not.
All right. In 1963, which state sold the first fried dill pickle? Was it New York, Oregon, Ohio, or Arkansas?
I'm gonna guess Arkansas?
You are correct. Very
Ooh.
Nice. Sarah, Red Vines is a popular brand of what type of candy?
Licorice? Does yep. it count as licorice?
It does. All weirdly right. enough, it does. It's not very good. There, I said it.
I like them a lot. I'm gonna go ahead and
your final question.
What?
Sarah, what is the ice cream capital of the world? Is it Indiana, Idaho, Illinois, Iowa?
I'm gonna go Indiana.
It's actually Iowa. It was what we were looking for.
I can't believe you didn't get that. Everyone knows that, Sarah. Everybody knows that.
You know what? You tied with a professional chef with how many years in the biz?
Very nice job.
Thank you. Tom Douglas, your first question today.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the official state pie of Florida?
Key lime.
Yes, I love that pie.
Wow, how about that?
It's delicious. Tom, name the sweet flan that looks like an iceberg.
Oh, I know exactly what that is.
I do, too. Floating island.
You know, I'm going to give it to you.
What did they say?
They said it was a baked Alaska, but I don't.
Oh, that has nothing to do with floating island.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, Tom, you're right, and I think this quiz is wrong.
Well, baked Alaska is ice cream.
Yeah. It's ice cream, and it's got meringue on top, but yeah, I'm with you. I think that you did a better job answering
this. The floating island is.
He answered the question you asked
more closely.
Yes.
Because it has a.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
Creme anglaise
floating island
and the meringue, so.
What's the official dessert of the state of Massachusetts? You got a lot of dessert and state questions here.
It's going to have something to do with crab.
You mean lobster.
Lobster, yes, sorry.
Anybody from the audience can help me out here? You're saying cherry. You're saying, I think Massachusetts is blueberries. Boston cream pie.
The audience is correct.
Oh, good.
I don't know if I can give that to you. You really had to sound like five friends in order to get that. Tom, your fourth question. What is the topping of cottage pie?
Mashed potatoes.
That is correct.
Oppa.
Oh, my goodness. 4 out of 4, so you've got one left. Let's see if you can get that perfect score. What's the state food of South Carolina? I feel like you're a beauty pageant contestant right now.
Can you give me anything closer? Like, is it a vegetable, a fruit, a meat?
It's a legume.
I'm going with black-eyed peas.
Boiled peanuts. For one of the very few times ever, we have a three-way tie.
All right, let's get our hands ready. Tina, you're on.
Better make it a good question.
Hey, yes,
she's
please.
Looking at the question.
All right, sorry.
I don't usually do this. You forget you were playing.
Yeah, I was like ready to just
ready to watch.
I think you're like, what's the answer on this? Yeah, I've got to write it down for the food quiz.
All right, for the big win here.
Okay, you ready?
Tina's watching your hands.
I'm watching.
What are the two top selling spices in the world?
Cinnamon.
I think that was Terry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cinnamon.
Uh huh.
And black pepper.
Well, I'm sorry, you're the big loser.
Black pepper is not a spice.
What do you mean it's not a spice?
You are a loser either way. That is not the first two top spices of the world. What we were looking for was mustard and pepper. Pepper is a spice. But that
Thanks,
said...
Thanks, Tom. I won because he said that wasn't a...
Clarice gets brunch for two at Luke.
If you want to be a winner, you have to... Go on to our Seattle Kitchen page and sign up for or ask a nice question or something and have us pick your name to be part of the show. You're listening to us on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. This show is produced by Tina Knoll at Large Media. Our associate producer and contestant on today's food quiz is Sarah Leibovitz. Our sound engineer is Sean Don't Call Me Del Torre. And if you'd like to be part of our studio audience, go to hotstovesociety.com and buy tickets for only $15. And you can subscribe to our podcast through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or download the Cairo Radio app and search for Seattle Kitchen.
Thanks for listening.